Tonight's topic is the Dor HaMidbar, to delve into the generation that had left Mitzrayim, though never entered Eretz Yisrael. The question one might ask is, what does one have to discuss? Everything is black and white. We lived with them. We experienced this generation from the time that they were little until the time that they all died out in the Midbar. It's almost as if it was experiencing the Truman Show. The Truman Show was that little boy that was born in front of the entire world, and their entire world was played out, or his entire life was played out in front of the entire world. And it seems as if that would also be the case with the Dor HaMidbar, in the sense that what's left that we already don't know? We know their beginning, how they had suffered tremendously at the hands of the Egyptians, and we know all their travels and travails in the Midbar. And ultimately, we also know that the Gemara tells us that there are a number of people, types of people or generations, that don't have a share in the world to come. And one of them is the Dor HaMidbar. Though before we get specifically into the Dor HaMidbar, or Bifrat into the Dor HaMidbar, the Mishnah in the 11th Perek, Chelek in Sanhedrin, tells us, Meraglim ein lahem chelek li'olam haba. The Meraglim, which is this week's Parsha, Parsha Shlach, they don't have a share in the world to come. And it's based on a pasuk, Vayamusu ha'anashim motzo'ei dibas ha'aretz ra'a b'mageva lifnei Hashem. So the Mishnah tells us that the Meraglim, that the spies, don't have a share in the world to come. It's based on a pasuk, again, in this week's Parsha. And then the Mishnah tells us the outcome of the Dor HaMidbar. The Mishnah says, Dor HaMidbar ein lahem chelek li'olam haba, that the generation of the desert, that generation that left Mitzrayim, they as well don't have a share in the world to come. So the obvious question that one has to ask is, why does the Mishnah have to enunciate or specifically tell us that the Meraglim ein lahem chelek li'olam haba, that they don't have a share in the world to come, if the Mishnah immediately after that statement tells us that the Dor HaMidbar ein lahem chelek li'olam haba? The Meraglim were part of the Dor HaMidbar. They lived in that generation. That was the same generation. Wouldn't it have been sufficient enough for the Mishnah to tell me that the Dor HaMidbar, the generation of the desert, doesn't have a share in the world to come? And obviously, I would know that neither do the spies. None of the generation has a share in the world to come. Well, then why does the Mishnah feel compelled to specify that the Meraglim were seemingly different than that entire generation, that I have to spell out specifically the Meraglim exclusive of that entire generation? That's question number one. Question number two is, how do we even understand the Dor HaMidbar Bichlal on a general sense, not having a share in the world to come? I understand specifically the Chet HaMeraglim. Those were specific people that had acted in an egregious way. It's understandable. They're not going to have a share in the world to come. And we'll discuss tomorrow night exactly what their Chet was, what their sin was. But to say an entire generation doesn't have a share in the world to come? What about the idea that the Mishnah, or that the Perek, begins with by telling us, Kol Yisrael, Yesh Lohem Chelek Li'olam Haba, that the entire Jewish people has a share in the world to come? And the Alshich explains exactly what that means, Kol Yisrael Yesh Lohem Chelek Liolam Haba. He says that every single person by himself has a chelek in Torah that will ultimately bring him to a chelek, to a peace in Olam Haba. There are those that have a chelek in the Limud HaTorah. There are those that have a chelek in giving tzedakah. There are those that are kind people, that their chelek in Torah is gemilas chasodin. There are those that are magnificent teachers. There are those that are wonderful learners. There are those that excel in Mishnah, but not necessarily Gemara. There are those that excel in Chumash, but not necessarily Mishnah. There are those that excel in Agadata, but don't necessarily excel in Lamdis. Kol Yisrael yesh lahem chelek liolam haba. Every single person has a chelek. The Medrash tells us, and the Alshach brings down this Medrash, that a Maimed Har Sinai, that a Maimed Har Sinai, Kol HaNefashos, that the entire Klal Yisrael, She'asidim Lios Ba'olam, that will forever be in Klal Yisrael, at Sof Kol HaDoros, until the end of the generations. V'kulam Nitna HaTorah, they as well were given the Torah. The Kol Nefesh V'Nefesh MiYisrael Yesh Chelek BaTorah. Every single neshama and nefesh until the end of time stood at Har Sinai, and in they themselves have a chelek, have a part in the Torah, whether it's through chesed, whether it's through tzedakah, whether it's through learning, whether it's through teaching. And that's even for generations that weren't present at Har Sinai. So even more so, this generation at Sinai, this Dor HaMidbar that experienced Har Sinai, you're going to tell me that they don't have a chelek li'olam haba? They don't have a share in the world to come? They aren't part of Am Yisrael that has a chelek in the Torah that ultimately will bring them to Olam Haba? It's a very difficult idea to digest. Now, in order to answer this question, we have to understand what is Olam Haba. The Mishnah in Brachos tells us, on Dav Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, Margala Bipume Derav, that Rav was accustomed to say this statement, Lo ka olam hazeh ha olam haba, that olam hazeh, that this world is not like olam haba. Ha olam haba ein bo lo achila v'lo shasiya. Olam haba doesn't have achila, doesn't have eating, doesn't have drinking, doesn't have procreation, doesn't have business or interaction, it doesn't have kina sina, it doesn't have envy. But rather, tzaddikim yoshvin va'atroseyem birasheyem, that their crowns are on their head and they are enjoying the splendor of God's presence. That's Olam Haba. What the Gemara is telling us is that Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba are two different worlds. Olam Hazeh is a world of achila and shasiya. It's a world of eating and drinking. It's a world of procreation. It's a world of kina and taiva and kavod. It's a transient world, and it's a world, it's a gashmi world. Totally different than Olam Haba. Olam Haba is not Olam Hazeh. Olam Haba is a world that is only spiritual. Kulo ruchni. It's a world that we don't need to eat and don't need to drink and don't need to do business. None of those ideas exist in the next world. Except one generation was able to experience Olam Haba in Olam Hazeh. Rav Moshe Isserles teaches us something fantastic, an unbelievable idea. He says, even though Olam Haba is a different world, And one can't have Olam Haza, Olam Haba, and Olam Haza because they are polar opposites. They're two extremes. They're inherently contradicting one to another. One is a physical world, one is a spiritual world. But says the Ramah, says Ramosha Isserles, there's one generation that was able to experience Olam Haba in Olam Haza. And that's the Dor HaMidbar. That's the generation that left Egypt and was wandering through the desert. As the Ramah writes, he says, the Dor HaMidbar nehenin miziv hashchina ba'olam hazeh. That the generation that traveled through the desert, they experienced and felt the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'olam hazeh in this world. Umis'angim tainug olam haba. And they experienced and they enjoyed the fulfillment and the enjoyment of the next world in this world. How? Shehu achilas haman. They ate the man. Shema aloche hasharis ochlun oso. It was the same food that nurtured the maloche hasharis, the angels. V'yadua ki ikar olam haba. And it's known, says the Ramah, that the idea of olam haba, lios ke'echad mimaloche hasharis, is to be one with the angels. V'alkein, and therefore, lo hutzrichu dor hamidbar lischar olam haba. The dor hamidbar didn't need reward in the world to come. Ba'ashir hoya lahem oso hatainu kvar. Because they already experienced what olam haba meant. V'chashvu lahem lateva sheni. It was second nature to them. What we yearn for, what we strive for, what we work for our entire lives, to experience that fulfillment of being in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the crown atop our heads. Our entire lives, we work for Olam Haba. For them, second nature. They didn't eat like we eat in Olam Haza. They ate the man, the same food that the angels ate. They didn't need the schar of Olam Haba because they already experienced the schar in this world, ba'asher huger lobo. They were accustomed to it. V'lo hoya nechshav lahem l'schar. To them, reward in the next world wasn't a reward, because they already had it already. And that is the understanding, I believe, when the Mishnah tells us that the Dor HaMidbar ein lo chelek li'olam haba, that they did not have a share in the world to come. It's not what we have thought until now, that they were so bad and so evil and so corrupt that that's why they did not have a share in the world to come. That's not what the Mishnah is telling us, I believe, according to the understanding of the Ramah. Rather, what the Mishnah is teaching us is the reason why they did not have a share in the world to come is because they didn't need it. They experienced Olam Haba in Olam Hazeh. For HaKadosh Baruch Hu to tell the Dor HaMidbar, my dear children, you work hard, you're going to have a share in the world to come. They're going to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tell us about that world. What happens in that world? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to tell them, my dear children, that's a world where you don't eat and you don't drink. That's a world where you get to experience HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a very clear, meaningful way. They're going to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they're going to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what we experience every single day throughout our days in the Midbar. We don't need Olam Haba. That, I believe, is why the Mishnah tells us that the Dor HaMidbar ein lo chelek li olam haba, not because they were Rishayim Gemurim, that they were punished, and that's why they didn't have a share in the world to come, but rather it's because they are the only generation that was able to experience Olam Haba in Olam Hazeh. And that, I believe, is as well why the Mishnah has to single out specifically the door, the chait of the Meraglim, exclusive of the Dor HaMidbar that doesn't have a share in the world to come. We ask the question at the outset, why is it necessary for the Mishnah to enunciate and to spell out that the Meraglim don't have a share in the world to come, if the Mishnah immediately after that tells us that the Dor HaMidbar doesn't have a share in the world to come? Once I already know that the Dor HaMidbar doesn't have a share in the world to come, wouldn't I already know that the Meraglim don't as well? But based upon what we're saying right now, it's for two totally different reasons. The reason why the Meraglim don't have a share in the world to come is based upon the pasuk that they're going to be destroyed from this world and removed from the next world. They were Rishayim. They were evil people. They had incited all of Klal Yisrael against Moshe and Aaron. They weren't deserving of Olam Haba and Olam Hazeh. And therefore, the Mishnah has to tell us, Ein lo chelek li Olam Haba, alts rishus, alts because of their evil ways. And then the Mishnah tells us that the Dor HaMidbar Bichlal, that generation, they also don't have a share in the world to come, but for a different reason. Not necessarily because they were Rishayim, but because they experienced Olam Haba in Olam Hazeh. So indeed, Kol Yisrael Yesh Lahem Chelek Li Olam Haba. All of Klal Yisrael has a share in the world to come. And we asked, how is it possible that even generations later will have that share? As the Medrash tells us, all of Klal Yisrael stood at Har Sinai, and each person is going to have their own chelek in Torah that would enable them to have their own chelek in Olam Haba. And by the way, that answers the question of tonight's message on WhatsApp. I had asked, Yehuda ben Tema Omer, Havi Az Koneimar, Vekal Kinesher, be as bold as a leopard and light as an eagle, Ratz Ketzvi, swift as a deer, Vegibor Ka'ari, and as strong as a lion, La'asos Ritzon Avicha Shebashamayim, to do the will of your Father in Shemayim, in heaven. And I ask, why is it necessary to state all of these ideas? Simply tell us, be strong to fulfill the Ratzon of Hashem. Why give all these examples, all these different examples through animals for one concept of doing the Ratzon Hashem? And the answer is very simply, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us that each and every person has a different chelek. Not two people are alike. There's one person that's chelek in Olam Haba is going to be through being a tomech, through supporting Torah. And there's another one that's going to have a chelek through learning Torah. And there's another one that's going to have his part in insisting that his children learn Torah. And that's why Yehuda ben Tema tells us there's a leopard, and there's an eagle, and there's a lion, And there's a deer. Every person, like every animal, fulfills their way of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So indeed, every member of Klal Yisrael has a share in the world to come, including the Dor HaMidbar. But they exhausted their Olam Haba in Olam Hazeh. And that is precisely why the Meraglim are singled out exclusive of the Dor HaMidbar. Because the Dor HaMidbar weren't given a share in the world to come because they had that share and experienced Olam Haba in Olam Hazeh, where the Meraglim were pure evil. So there we answered our two questions that we had asked at the outset as to why or how we understand the Dor HaMidbar not having a chelik, not having a share in the world to come. So now I want to offer an alternate answer in addition to what we had said right now. And that is the Gemara in Avodah Zarah tells us a dialogue that had taken place between the Umos HaOlam and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All the Umos HaOlam had stood online waiting for entry into Olam Haba. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, there's nothing that you did to deserve it. They said, it's not true. We had bathhouses and marketplaces and bridges. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, come on. Come on, guys. You didn't do it for the Yid. You did it for yourselves. That's not deserving. You don't warrant Olam Haba. So finally, they tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know what? Ribono Shel Olam, Tlo Nanu Mirosh. Give it to us now. B'nasena, we're going to do the Torah. We're going to keep your Torah. Amar Lehen HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to the Gentile nations and says, Shotim Sheba Olam, fools, Mi Shetorach Be'erev Shabbos, one who toils on Erev Shabbos, Yoichal B'Shabbos, is entitled to eat on Shabbos. But Mi Shelo Torach Be'erev Shabbos, but one who doesn't toil on Erev Shabbos, Mehechan Yoichal B'Shabbos, where is he going to eat on Shabbos? What the Gemara is telling us is that the 6 days of the week are Olam Hazeh, representing the 6,000 years. If a person toils and works and struggles in Olam Hazeh, ultimately he'll be able to eat on Shabbos, which we know Shabbos is Me'ein Olam Haba, is similar to Olam Haba. If a person toils and works Erev Shabbos, cooks his food, then he'll be able to eat on Olam Haba. But if he doesn't cook Erev Shabbos, we all know the halacha, that bishul, that cooking, is asur, is forbidden on Shabbos. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to the nations of the world. It's too late. You had your chance. But now it's Shabbos. It's Olam Haba. You're not deserving of that reward. Essentially, we learn from this Gemara something very fundamental that isn't only applicable to the Gentile nations. It's applicable to us as well. And that is if we want Olam Haba, we have to toil, we have to work, we have to struggle. We have to be able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a confusing world. And that was something, says R' Moshe Feinstein, that the Dor HaMidbar was never able to do. As R' Moshe writes, Ki Iker HaChet, perhaps the main chet of the Dor HaMidbar, was they lacked emuna. And one might ask, how did they possibly lack emuna? They experienced everything that the world had to offer. They experienced Har Sinai. And they experienced Kriyas Yamsuf. And they experienced Yesias Mitzrayim. How is it possible that they were lacking in emuna b'Hashem? And Rav Moshe writes, Mishum shelo bo lohem ba'omal v'yegia. The emuna, the appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not come through toil or their own work. Achehivinu ba'atzmam, until they understood it themselves, v'nikva b'livam, and implanted it into their hearts. Ela mishum shero hanisim v'haniflos. It's because they saw the miracles and the wonders. It was to their detriment. Lochein yoser mima shero chatu shelo lahamim. It would have been better for them not to see the nisim v'niflos. It would have been better that they didn't see the nisim v'niflos, and they come and they become a chote, a sinner. But they saw the nisim v'niflos. They experienced HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They didn't have to work. They didn't have to toil. I saw a beautiful pshat. The Gemara Maseches Shabbos tells us the Kofin Ole and Har Kigigis, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu held the mountain upon their heads and forced them to accept the Torah. It was only in the days of Achashverosh that they accepted Ba'ava. And the Mefarshim ask, this generation was the greatest generation, the Dor Hadea. They understood. They saw. They saw with great clarity all of these miracles. You're telling me HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to hold the mountain atop their head to accept the Torah, but in the days of Achashverosh, when they weren't as great, they accepted it ba'ava, out of love. Kimu v'kiblu mashu kiblu kfar. So I saw a beautiful, beautiful idea. What it means is kofin olen, that they were forced, that they were compelled to take the Torah, means that they didn't have a bechira chafshis. Because they saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu with such clarity, they were compelled to take it. They had to take it. They didn't have a choice. They saw the wonders of Hashem. Anyone who sees such miracles, to not to take the Torah. What are you, dumb? What are you, an idiot? Of course you're going to take the Torah. You see how great HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. That doesn't bring a person to Olam Haba. They had no choice. They didn't have Bechira. Kadosh Baruch Hu rewards you commiserate with your work. There wasn't any work. There wasn't a struggle. Life is about the struggle. It's about the process. And that's why I believe the Mishnah is telling us that Dor HaMidbar Ein Lohem Chelek Li'olam Haba. They don't have a share in the world to come, because Olam Haba is only reserved for people that work, that toil, that struggle, that find HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of Yigia and Amelus. Not because they were compelled, because they had no choice, because it was so easy. Is it a punishment? When the Mishnah tells us Dor Hamidbar Ein Lahem Chelek Liolam Haba. Is it a punishment? Perhaps not. It's a mitzias, it's a reality. That's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. Olam Hazeh is the world of work, of Misha Torach Be'erev Shabbos. Yoichel B'Shabbos will be compensated on Shabbos itself. But Misha Lo Torach, one who doesn't work and doesn't toil, Yoichel B'Shabbos? Does he expect to eat on Shabbos? Dor HaMidbar, they didn't toil during the 6 days. By extension, similar to the Gentile nations, Lahavdil, they weren't entitled to a share in the world to come. A totally different view, different expectation of the Mishnah's pshat, of the Mishnah's understanding of the Dor HaMidbar. Not necessarily Rishayim, but not necessarily Tzadikim, because to be a Tzadik, La'adam La'amal Yulad, man was created to work and to toil. Have a wonderful night. Tomorrow night, 7:30, we're going to focus on Bifrat, specifically the Chet of the Meraglim. Have a good night. Thank you.